our weekly chat. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib. Quite a lot of data that we need to look at today. And let's start with the US and inflation data following jobless claims. Can you unpack it for us, also for lay people, Kevin, so that we can bring a whole bunch of people into this conversation?
Sure. So this is critical data ahead of the FOMC, the Federal Reserve's interest rate meeting next week. It's the inflation numbers. It's for the month of August. And it kind of is the last bit of information the Federal Reserve will have before they decide on interest rates. And there was a lot of focus on this data. As it turned out, the number was a bit higher than expected, particularly in the month. Prices went up 0.4%. That doesn't sound like much, but for the US, normally the run rate would be 0.2%. So anything above 0.2 is considered a little bit on the high side, 0.4 definitely on the high side. And clearly the concern is that the tariffs are feeding into some price pressure. When you break down the numbers, yes, there is some tariff element, but I would stress that the tariffs are not showing up in a significant way in terms of pushing prices higher. I would say that instead there's a broader array of price pressures that are evident, including things like food prices. Those moved up quite a bit. Used car prices, airline fares. Those are not necessarily tariff related. So there is a bit of inflationary pressure around. If you look at the headline number, the number that most people would focus on is the annual rate of inflation. That sits at 2.9%. Now, 2.9 still seems very good, but they've got a target of 2%. And if you think back in May this year, inflation was 2.3%. So in the last 3 months, US inflation has gone from 2.3 to 2.9. That's moving in the wrong direction. And next month, I've got it forecasted over 3%. So you end up with a result that says, there's a bit of inflationary pressure. US inflation is moving further away from the target. There's some tariff effect, but overall, it just feels a little bit uncomfortable when it comes to the Federal Reserve and an interest rate decision.
And that's exactly because Trump and his administration have obviously been putting the Fed under a huge amount of pressure to cut interest rates. So this is going to end up in an antagonistic relationship because I don't think Trump is going to take no for an answer.
No, he won't. So look, it's already antagonistic. And obviously there's a lot of politics that has now entered the Fed, both internally and externally. So they're under enormous pressure. What I think is going to inform their decision, though, is not so much the inflation numbers. So you're going to have this odd situation where inflation is moving in the wrong direction relative to target, but they're still going to cut interest rates. Now, I think we need to understand why the hell you would cut rates if inflation's moving in the wrong direction. And the reason is twofold. The first is the labor market has weakened. U.S. employment, the employment data, the data today, the weekly jobless claims, that's the number of people that apply for unemployment insurance on a weekly basis. That jumped up quite a bit, saying there's more people unemployed. The number of jobs being added has come off quite considerably. So there's a lot of weakness that is evident in the labor market, and the Federal Reserve will be mindful that the economy is slowing down. And so it's not just a simple debate of, oh, there's a bit more inflation. There's a bit more inflation, but the economy is weakening. On top of that, this pressure from the Trump administration matters. It's very difficult for a Federal Reserve to sit there and completely ignore all the pressure. The pressure is very real, and there are members within the Federal Reserve that are expressing similar views to what Trump is saying. And therefore, Jerome Powell, as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is going to feel that pressure. So I think because the labor market is weak, they will cut rates. And what they will argue is they believe that even though inflation's going up, it will be a temporary increase, a kind of price shock due to the tariffs. And they don't believe that inflation is going to become embedded at a much higher rate. Therefore, they're not worried that inflation, while it's moving up, is going to become a problem. Now, of course, there's risk in that, because what happens if they're wrong? If they're wrong, then it means they've cut rates at exactly the wrong time. But given how much pressure they're under, I think they'll cut rates and they'll hope that the inflation numbers do not become a bigger problem in the months ahead.
Kevin, we need to come home now and talk about our own data and the current account surplus, or deficit rather.
Yeah,
because, I mean, exports have seemed to have fallen out of the base of the economy.
Yeah, so our current account deficit widened. It's still acceptable. It's just over 1% of GDP. Anything below 3% of GDP is considered okay. It's more when your current account deficit, which represents your trade with the rest of the world, mostly your trade with the rest of the world, when that number's over 5% of GDP, then you've got a massive problem. We're not at that point. So overall, you would say our trade balance is manageable, but moving in the wrong direction. And the reason is our exports are under pressure. And part of that, there's two reasons. One is this infrastructure is just not helping us. The infrastructure to get the commodities to whichever harbor we're using, it's not functioning nearly as well as you would want. And they have from time to time some breakdowns, or they end up with some losses along the way, etc. And so that undermines our export performance, and that's clearly been a factor now. And then if you look at our exports to the US, it's been under pressure for a number of months. And I know people want to blame the tariffs for that, but it's been under pressure for a while. And that's partly because the US has held back on imports for quite some time. So the combination is not good for us. And so we've seen some deterioration in our trade balance. At the same time, geez, this country is very import intensive. We're losing out. If I look at the motor industry, if I look at general retail, if I look at the steel industry, we're continually importing stuff which is undermining our industrial base here. And obviously that keeps imports elevated, exports get hurt, and we find that our trade situation is deteriorating. It's not putting us under enormous pressure because you can see the rand is holding on, and that if it becomes a big problem, the rand would normally weaken. The rand hasn't done that. So we're managing, but it's something we need to pay attention to because it can get quite a bit worse.
And let's look at growth for the second quarter in South Africa, coming in at 0.8%. That's up from, if I'm correct, 0.2% in the first quarter.
0.1% in the first quarter, yeah.
So is that sustainable, the trajectory? I mean, are we going, or is that just temporary?
It's a bit temporary. It's partly, think of it as we had a very bad first quarter, 0.1%, and now you've got a better growth relative to that bad first quarter. So the growth rate we're talking about, 0.8, is measured quarter on quarter. I think a more instructive number is to look at year on year, where the number is about 0.6%. So that gives you more the underlying growth dynamic, which is not particularly good. And for this year as a whole, we say in South Africa could achieve about a 1% growth, accepting that in the second half of the year, things hold up reasonably well. Last year, we had a terrible year, 0.5% growth. So that was dreadful. But in a strange way, it helps you a bit because last year being so bad, you don't have to do too much to get a percentage that improves. So I think we're on track for about 1% this year. The 0.8% is maybe a little bit overstating the improvement relative to the first quarter. But at least we're avoiding a recession. We're not in that sort of level of desperation. But think about it. The economy is treading water. If you break down the activity, the second quarter was really driven by retail trade, big retail sales going on, and then a little bit by recovery in mining and manufacturing activity. Now, we've subsequently had additional manufacturing numbers out today, and the number deteriorated. So that already tells you we haven't built a momentum there. The mining data looks a bit better, but it really hasn't yet fully recovered the loss in the first quarter. So I would say that overall, the growth rate is more moving sideways to slightly up, but nowhere near enough to deal with the growth we really need. And the number to keep reminding yourself is the population grows at 1.4%. So as an absolute minimum, you want to exceed the population growth. And we're not at that point at the moment. So income per capita continues to decline, which means the purchasing power of the average South African continues to go backwards, which is terrible, actually.
It's not a great update on the economic front. I hope you're going to have better news for us one of these days.
Well, I think in order to get that better news, there's no doubt we're going to need more investment spending, fixed investment in infrastructure that would help enormously, some form of expansion in the private sector. If we got those numbers, then I think we're going to be talking about a more buoyant economy with more durability in terms of the growth cycle. Right now, we're really playing with small numbers, and a lot of it is because the consumers got this two-pot withdrawal. In other words, they're taking money out of their long-term savings. We think this year they'll take another 25 billion rand. They've already done a portion of that. And when that money comes out of it,
is that one of the reasons underpinning retail?
Absolutely. So remember, this thing started last year, the two-pot withdrawal. And in the first year, which wasn't a full calendar year, but consumers withdrew about 47 billion rand. So the start, that was quite a big withdrawal, but they're able to withdraw on an ongoing basis. And this year we thinking about 25, 26 billion. Now they've already commenced that in this fiscal year. And so as that money comes out of the long-term savings, it is tending to go into shopping. Basically, we're taking long-term savings and turning it into shopping. And obviously it helps you, right? Because you get some buoyancy in retail. And then, you know, if you get a cut in rates or inflation stays low, that helps you. But we've got to understand where it's coming from. It's not driving employment growth. It's not driving fixed investment and expansion. It's not the best way to grow your economy. We need much more longer term build up of infrastructure, build up the rail, the port, the water capacity, and grow off that base. Then we would be talking a much stronger story. We're not in that position at the moment.
All right. So we won't expect anything to shoot the lights out anytime soon, because this, as you say, is a longer term story. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bryant.